This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
How much of a challenge has the first 5 weeks been for you, Russell Wilson?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's like my favorite Earth, Wind & Fire song, The Way of the World. You know, I'm built for it.
I got this 39 yards. Chargers win.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, head of lifestyle and content marketing for NBA 2K, Ronnie 2K, Buffalo Bills safety Jordan Poyer, plus actor Colin Hanks. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. We say hello to you, and we say hello to anybody listening to us on our terrestrial radio network, coast to coast, Sirius channel 218, XM 202, 992 on the Sirius XM app. Hello to those streaming us on Odyssey, listening to us as well there. We say hello to anybody who is downloaded this show later on our podcast network. We appreciate you. Hit that subscribe button. We say hello to anybody who's already one of our subscribers to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. If you're not, hit the subscribe button there, because that's one way you could keep up with our program. Also, the Roku channel, we re-air on it every single day as soon as we're done on channel 210. And new to Roku this very week, the Rich Eisen Show Collection. Ha ha, yes.
Hey.
That's called
up?
Video on Demand.
Hey,
you can
fancy,
go and check us out right here on Roku, on the Roku channel. You can see all our clips right here. Watch the show on demand right here.
Do it.
How about them apples?
Love it.
And I love it. It's the Rich Eisen Show Collection.
The Criterion Collection got nothing on us.
We're a collection, guys.
Hey.
We're a collection.
We're a collection of something.
How are you, Chris Brockman?
Yeah, I would have been better if, like, Justin Herbert threw a touchdown pass.
Okay, very good. Good to see you over there, DJ Mikey D's and D's Nuts.
Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
And TJ Jefferson left his phone ringer on.
I heard the...
He left his phone ringer on. Look, anytime you hear the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme, I know it's TJ's phone left up. Who's calling you at 9 o'clock in the morning when you're coming on the air?
You know what it was?
Who's doing that? Is it a bank?
It's my niece, Naila, texting me. She had a homecoming volleyball game yesterday.
Okay.
So I FaceTimed my sister.
Okay.
And I was watching it on the phone, and I think she just found out because she just sent me a text. And whenever she sends me a text, you know what she wants? Some money. So I know this was a money text.
Wow.
Right, so.
Wow. So way to throw.
She heard I was watching. They won. She played well. Now she wants some type of compensation,
I'm
sure.
There goes your best uncle ever sign for your station here.
Well,
no.
She'll probably get it. So, you know. And by the way, can I say good morning to everybody except the people that run Twitter and DAZN? I don't wish anything good for you. But everyone else, have a great day.
Wow, DJ. Look at him the platform.
Salty.
I'm upset.
Wow.
Salty TJ.
New segment here called Angry Takes. Do you need a scepter for it?
Well, remember my one take? I can't say the word on Roku.
Speaking of Angry Takes, let's talk about Russell Wilson.
Oh, come on,
No, listen.
Come on, man.
Look, whatever. Here's my take on Monday Night Football from last night. Hey. Nathaniel Hackett, whatever you're doing, you need to take it and rip it up and throw it out and start over. Literally start over. Whatever your PowerPoint presentation to the then owners or to George Payton, the general manager, whatever you presented about what you're going to do for this team on offense, take it, throw it out. Whatever you did maybe in the first quarter of last night's game where Russ was cooking, riding, Broncos Nation was riding, 10-0 lead, keep some of that. And I know you might say, well, part of it is what you just told me to throw out. I got it. Throw everything else out then. Because whatever you're doing, it ain't working. What you're doing defensively is working, but the Broncos are right now at 2-4. Despite allowing 16.5 points per game. If you are allowing 16.5 points per game in the National Football League, and you have a quarterback who, prior to joining your team, was a damn near perennial Pro Bowler who made the playoffs almost every year, and not only made the playoffs almost every year, appeared in the division round almost every year because he either got a bye or he won in a wild card game, because that's what Russell Wilson did in Seattle. If you have somebody like Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy to throw the football to, and you're allowing 16.5 points per game, and you're only winning one-third of your games, something is up and wrong.
The math ain't mathing.
They've allowed 10 or fewer points in their two wins, and in their four losses, allowed 17 to Seattle. The outlier is 32 to Vegas. 12 points to Indianapolis, and last night, 19 to the Los Angeles Chargers, who won the game with a one-legged kicker. And
insert joke here.
Dude, I don't think I'm lying. Okay?
He couldn't even warm up. Like, that's
honestly
usually the great shot, like kicker warming up on the sideline.
I've never seen more points scored by somebody. The last time I saw more points scored by somebody staggering was in college, walking out of the Brown Jug on the campus of the University of Michigan. One of my fraternity brothers staggering around and scoring. I mean, this is what's happening to the Denver Broncos right now. And it is not acceptable. And everybody who's pointing out, well, the offensive line is banged up, absolutely. And people are pointing at Russell Wilson, and even Troy Aikman's pointing out that he is just, he's not seeing the field. And I will not be part of the crew that thinks Russell Wilson is washed. You can't. He's just not feeling it. And part of the reason why he's not feeling it might be whatever is going on between his temples, because he's not used to being criticized in the manner in which he's being criticized so widely. It might be part of him seeing ghosts up front. It might be him being completely uncomfortable, the offense. It can be his inability to see the field, but it could also be part of whatever deficiencies he may have that got covered up in Seattle. I don't know. But I saw last night him stepping up in the pocket and finding his wide open rookie tight end for a touchdown. I see him moving around. When he's moving around, it's so much better for him. And then I don't know what happens with the coach play calling when the game's on the line. Is he pulling a rock? I don't know, because I cannot imagine. He went into an organization that's had Vic Fangio attached to the hip of Joe Flacco and Drew Locke for all that time before. And part of his PowerPoint was like, when the game's on the line, we're going to run it twice, and then we're going to throw a 50-50 ball. And if I was in charge, I'd be like, we've been doing that around here quite a bit. Like, what are you going to do? Last night, Latavius Murray in overtime, two runs. And he got him to third and one. They threw it. Incomplete pass. Next time, they got it back because the defense was balling out. Yep. Two runs. Third and long. 50-50 ball to Jerry Jeudy. And then you got it back. And then, of course, the muffed punt that kind of wasn't their receiver's
fault. It wasn't really his fault.
Fault, because he had his own guy pushed into him. Yeah. Ball game. Out comes Dustin Hopkins staggering around and splitting uprights. Which, by the way, Chargers fans are like, that's not usually what's supposed to happen with us. We're supposed to have no kicker and then lose the game. We'll get to the Chargers in a second. I'm not done yet with the Broncos. Whatever they're doing offensively, get it out of here. And at some point, you know, I know people are like, fire Hackett. It's just six games. You're 2-4. And the teams in front of you are two games in front of you, yes. 2.5 in front of you, because you've already lost now to the Chargers. But season's not over. But whatever's going on with Hackett, I mean, the play calling in overtime and the you know, whatever they were doing second, third, fourth quarter, it was just so difficult to watch. And here's the ultimate on it, is I don't know how these things happen. Anybody who had, and this includes me, you know, raising my hand, Javonte Williams, you have him in fantasy.
Okay. You're watching him split snaps with Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone. And this kid is one of their most electric playmakers they had coming into the season, right? Now he's out for the year, as we all know. But he's splitting carries like Mike Boone. You're like, this guy who could only see the field in Minnesota is if everybody in front of him got hurt. He's getting some meaningful third down snaps. This kid's off the field. Melvin Gordon's fumbling it all over the place. They still give him shots. And then suddenly Melvin Gordon gets, as soon as Williams is gone, benched. Latavius Murray was running the ball well, and I think he's going to run the ball very well, and he knows the AFC West very well. I mean, he first burst onto the scene on a Thursday night against Kansas City for the then Oakland Raiders. He knows the division. But all of a sudden, Melvin Gordon is just benched, and you don't even tell him what's up. He's standing there, and he's going against his former team, and you're not even going to bottle that and use that and roll him downhill against his former team? So you take Russ off the field for your kicker for a 64-yard field goal against his former team in his former team's house. You don't let Russ cook there, and now Melvin's back in Los Angeles against the Chargers, and you're just benching him? And he says after the game, nobody told me why?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, what's up? Who's making these decisions? Jerry Jeudy's like barking at the field, talking to Melvin Gordon. I have no idea what he's talking about, but he doesn't look happy.
He's probably like, you should be out here.
So whatever that's been done, take it, throw it the hell out, burn it, and never acknowledge its existence and start again. Because you know what? You're going against the Jet team next week at home, and they are coming. They are coming with young kids who feel great about themselves, the exact opposite of the Broncos team I saw last night. As for the Chargers, you are what you are. And what they are a 4-2 team that for some reason, I'm not an X's and O's, all 22 tape head, but the stuff they're running with Justin Herbert makes it seem like they don't know who they really have there. And Brandon Staley was on this program last week, and he's a former quarterback talking about how it's the first time that Justin Herbert has shown to the country this year. Everybody knows about what he did in college, and everybody knows how he got the job initially in Los Angeles, took it over when he wasn't expected to start, and has never looked back and has been dynamite. And so many people thought he was going to be the MVP of the league this year. And they're not calling plays like he's the MVP of the league. Just look at the Buffalo Bills. What they have with this big, strong, tall, confident dude who can throw it and run it down your throat. And I know that running it down your throat is difficult when he's got a fractured rib cage. But they're going vertical. They're just pushing it down the field. They're not... I mean, and they have a better running game, with all due respect, than the Buffalo Bills. With Austin Eckler, this guy's carrying people in the end zone.
Yo.
It just seems to me like watching paint dry with one of the most dynamic quarterbacks you've seen in the league in a long time. They should be winning games like this by two touchdowns when you can't score. When you've got a defense with Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson doing what it's doing without their Bosa. It's so frustrating watching that, too. And I don't know what the hell they were doing at the end of that game with all timeouts left. I mean...
Playing for overtime, it seemed like.
Well, they were playing for overtime after they threw it on third down and didn't get it. And they're like, well, we're not going to... I guess Brandon Staley was, I already went for it on my side of the field in fourth down last week. We were lucky to get away with it. I'm not going to do that here. I'd rather take my chances in overtime. And why not? Because Russ wasn't, forget it, he wasn't even in the kitchen. He was ordering out. So, you know,
Uber Eats.
Whatever he was doing. So I'm sitting there wondering, you know, I'm seeing one coach from Denver using all his timeouts on defense, and then one coach in Los Angeles, you know, using his time, one timeout when he has the ability with Justin Herbert to just go much of the field and hand it off to his one-legged staggering kicker and try and go for a shot at the end of regulation. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know I've just lost to the Bills, and I know I'm going to play what appears to be, unfortunately, one marquee game of Week 7. You look at the Week 7 schedule, it's not going to light too many fires just by looking at it.
Yeah.
But Kansas City at San Francisco is the marquee event of this weekend. Clearly, we all know
Super Bowl rematch between these two franchises from just a couple years ago. So here comes Kansas City going to San Francisco, and that's not going to be a great matchup for them, one would think. Although San Francisco's banged up and Kansas City almost won this game. All I'm saying is this. If I'm Kansas City and I saw that game last night, I am red R back, foot up, feet up on the table, lighting a cigar and saying, we got this thing. We got this thing. And I know the Chargers just won and they have the same record as Kansas City and took them to the limit in week two on the Thursday Night Football kickoff on Amazon Prime this year, and they have the same record. And looking at the standings right now, you're sitting here thinking, wow, that game that Mahomes invited Henry Winkler to on November 20th here in SoFi Stadium between the Chiefs and Chargers, that's a pretty big one. And it may be when we all get to it. But if I'm the Chiefs, I'm thinking long run here. Huh. We got this thing. We got this thing sewn up. We are so much better than everybody else in this division that everybody thought was the toughest division we'll see in the NFL in quite some time. I'm the Chiefs. I'm watching that Monday night game thinking, this is great. More of that, please. We're good. Let's just focus on the Bills and who might ever come out of the AFC North if it's the Bengals again for sure, because they have our number from last year. My two cents on Thursday Night Football. I'm a little fired up today. I had a lot of caffeine.
I love it.
It's an easy drive from work to work today. I'll tell you a little bit about that. And plus, I got one of my favorite people in Los Angeles, a dear friend, Colin Hanks, coming in studio in hour number three. He's got a show on Peacock that he was telling us about last time he was here when he was promoting The Offer. Mm-hmm. A friend of the family streaming now on Peacock. He's great in it. It's a great show. And he's also got a documentary on Willie Mays that's coming out. Before he shows up in studio, Jordan Poyer of the 5-1 Buffalo Bills, fresh off of that game in Kansas City that he drove to and back from Western New York. We'll explain why if you don't know. The NBA season tips off tonight in a ring ceremony in San Francisco that we know Draymond Green will be there for. Mm-hmm. But the way that we're celebrating the tip-off of the NBA season is by having Ronnie 2K in here. And Ronnie is the guy who's in charge of giving out the ratings for the NBA 2K video game. Klay Thompson loves him, and we'll talk about that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm being told it's the exact opposite. Yeah. He gets a lot of crap from players who don't like their ratings.
People take it very seriously.
They've also run through some simulations, and they know who's going to win the championship this year.
I agree with half of it.
Yeah. but let's take a break. When we come back, Greg Olson, the man who will be calling the Super Bowl this year on Fox, along with Kevin Burkhardt, fresh back from Lambeau Field, where the Jets took care of business. We'll talk about everything going on in Greg Olson's world in a moment. Every deep playoff run starts with building an amazing team. Doing the same for your business doesn't take a room full of scouts. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. And if you hate waiting, who doesn't? Indeed U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. You get virtual interviews. That saves you time with Indeed. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent all in one place. So easy with your applicants. No need to install anything extra. Indeed's virtual interview tool works from your browser. Indeed knows when you're growing your business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in our database that matches your job description. Visit Indeed.com/richpodcast to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/richpodcast. Indeed.com/richpodcast. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. What did I say when I first came back from the Combine when Greg Olson was doing the Combine stuff with NFL Network? What did I say?
You love him?
I did.
He's going to be really good.
Well, he had me at hello way back when.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, when he was doing stuff with us at the Combine, I'm like, that guy has got the chops if he wants to follow it. And he's followed it. And guess who's calling the Super Bowl on Fox this year? This guy.
88?
This guy. This guy. And he also has some announcement about tight end university.
Oh.
Which, you know, he and Kittle and Kelsey and the rest of the tight end community have been putting together the last couple of years. Joining us here from the NFL on Fox and so much more, Greg Olson here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How you been, Greg?
I'm doing great, man. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Hey, I love
that. Appreciate the warm welcome.
Of course. It always is. You know, you always have a warm welcome here. Loved, loved, loved your son, TJ, getting to meet Aaron Rodgers and the story you told. I'll give you the floor here to tell that story for those who may not have seen that part of the broadcast on Fox this week, sir. Go for it.
Yeah, it was a really cool moment for him. So at the start of the year, I let each one of my kids, they get to pick a game that they can come to with me. And they come by themselves. The other two have to stay home. So my daughter came to L.A. last week when I called the Rams game. And then my son was going to come with me to Green Bay in week 10 when we were scheduled to go there. This past week, we were supposed to be in Pittsburgh. So last minute, they changed the game. So he ended up coming a little bit earlier. So we were sitting in production meetings and with Burkhart and Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi and the rest of the crew. And we were just, you know, TJ was talking and they're like, hey, why'd you pick Green Bay? And he's like, I wanted to see Lambeau Field and I would love to meet Aaron Rodgers. So fortunately, I know Aaron well. I don't know if I know him like well enough personally to like call and ask for favors, but Aaron Andrews and him are close. So she texted him and long story short, he came out of the tunnel for pregame, looked for us, found us right by the tunnel, came over. He was amazing. You know, took pictures with him, ended up throwing, you know, having a catch with him during warmups. Like, it was just an unbelievable moment. It was TJ's, TJ, for those who don't know, had a heart transplant last summer. Mm. So he's finally now being able to go back on the road and he can travel and start doing some of these things. So one of his wishes was to go to Lambeau and meet Aaron Rodgers. And we're fortunate that Aaron was kind enough to take some time in pregame to see him last week on Sunday. And he carried the smile on his face the rest of the day.
Well, it's a little thing, right? It's little things that mean so much, and I love it when I see big time athletes just do the little things. And I'm so glad that Rodgers, you know, and the right before a game, it's the stuff that he should do, and he does, and I think it's awesome, man. And I thought it was great. I'm so happy for your son and you. I mean, what a moment that must have been for you as a dad to watch your son after his journey and the depths from which he has now come back. It's amazing. I'm happy for you, brother. Really.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, he's a special little guy. He's been through a lot. He just had his 10th birthday last week. So he's doing great. And like you said, he's been through a lot. He's had, you know, last summer was, probably as low as you probably can go, right? I mean, needing to have your heart replaced at 8 years old. But he's bounce back. He's better than ever. He's a great kid. And now he's just able to go back and enjoy the things that he wasn't able to do for a long time, like travel and be on the road and whatnot. So it's been a blast. We had a fun weekend, just the two of us for a couple days in Green Bay. And he got to check off a pretty cool bucket list item.
I love it. How many kids do you have again, Greg? How many kids do you have?
I got three.
Okay.
So I got one. So my son, my
bar's been set very high. Bar has been set very high for the third one. So what do you got here?
Yeah,
what do
we have? My daughter came to L.A. Yep. TJ got to come to Lambeau. My oldest son's in the middle of football season right now.
Okay.
He's tackle football, so he's got to wait until the season's over. So he's got another month or two until, you know, he'll probably come to a later game. Knowing him, he'll somehow like finagle his way into like a playoff game somewhere amazing. So he'll be just fine. Okay. I'm not worried about him.
I don't know. I mean, Brady tapped out on a Friday night to go to a Kraft wedding. I mean, maybe your son, you know, does your son have any Brady rules that he could abide by right there?
Greg? No, he's not missing. Yeah, we're not missing games.
Okay.
We put way too much time into this season. I don't even miss the games. I alter my flights around so I can be at the games.
I love it. Good for you, man. Good for you. Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's just jump right into what you saw this weekend. What is when Aaron Rodgers after the game
Greg. He said that when asked about what to do for the offense, he said, simplify things. So he said that when they moved the ball, they were doing more simple things, less motion. And when I heard that, and he also talked about, you know, the guys that they have there, that they need to do things that the guys that they can have there can handle, and that if they have the wrong guys there, that's a different conversation. That was what he said after the game. I thought to myself, isn't this the time of year where the simple stuff should have gotten already assimilated and they can push the pedal to the metal on the rest of the playbook? What did you see that Rodgers might have been talking about, Greg Olson?
Yeah, we've seen now Green Bay up close now. I think we've called three of their games. Mm-hmm. You know, we had them the opener in Minnesota. And I think going into that game, of course, the conversation early on was, you know, replacing, you know, Devontae Adams when, you know, traded to the Raiders. And, you know, they got two rookies that are coming in, and Randall Cobb and Lazard was still out. So I think there was that notion of, like, we don't know what to expect. There might be some, you know, some growing pains early in the season. And that's what we saw week one against Minnesota. And then it's kind of the unfortunate part is there's been glimpses here and there. But for Green Bay, what we just saw last week in week six was eerily similar. You know, they struggle having guys win and create separation. They're not, you know, they didn't pass protect great. So Rodgers got banged around a little bit. You know, he's trying to keep plays alive with his legs. But, you know, when your protection's struggling a little bit and the Jets were getting after him, he was under fire from the jump. And you're not having a ton of separation down the field. There's not, you know, every ball that's thrown is a contested catch. It takes a perfect throw and a great catch to just make anything happen down the field. It's not a recipe that's easily sustainable, you know. And, you know, people say, oh, they got to run the ball more. Yeah, and that's fine. But you got the best quarterback, arguably, in NFL history, one of the few. The offense is always going to run through Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, to have Aaron Rodgers and say, oh, but, you know, we're just going to hand the ball off 1,000 times, I think it's just a little short-sighted. They've got to figure out how they can develop some guys outside, and whether that's through simplifying some of the reads. Again, I'm not privy to a lot of the inside information. You know, it's their routes being run wrong and the depth's wrong, and they're not running it, you know, how the play is designed, and that's why there's no separation, right? There's always a lot of context to why teams are struggling. It's never just a simple fix, but at the end of the day, they got Aaron Rodgers. The passing game's got to be a force for them. And on top of that, they are used to playing from a lead, right? They're used to playing ahead. Their defense is able to play a certain style last year because they're winning most games and able to, you know, not really worry about the run and whatnot. And right now, defensively, Green Bay's struggling. You know, that at the end of the game, Rodgers cut it to one score with that pass to Lazard in the end zone. And all that, you know, we said it on the broadcast. We said Green Bay's defense needs to come out and get a stop and hold the Jets here and get the ball back. And the Jets went right down, and Breece Hall popped one for a touchdown. And then the game was never, you know, was kind of out of reach since then. So just both sides of the ball right now, I think, are struggling to find their identity. And I think you can kind of hear those words when Rodgers speaks to the media.
Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you just mentioned about what's wrong with Green Bay and both sides of the ball and how they gave up a touchdown after making it a one-score game at home. I can't believe I'm saying this, but how much of this can you attribute to the Jets being really damn good, Greg Olson? How much can you attribute to that?
I think a good part of it, right? I think it's a two-prong conversation. I think the Packers are uncharacteristically disjointed, right? Since LaFleur's taken over, we're just used to this team winning 12, 13 games every single year, and we just expect Aaron Rodgers to be the MVP, right? It's just that's, and all of a sudden it's not quite that, and they're 500, and the sky's falling. But then on the other end, you have another team now that entered the game 3-2 with the Jets. Now they're 4-2, and they're two games above 500, what feels like for the first time in God, who knows how long. But I'll tell you, they are young, they are talented, they are very confident. It's hard to believe that they have all these first and second year guys. You know, to some of the graphics we showed during the game about their point differential and points scored in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and their ability to close out games and win close games. For a young team, that's very, very rare. And I think it's a product of Robert Saleh. I think he's a stud. I think he's a fantastic coach. I think the culture change that they've implemented there is pretty significant, and their acquisition of talent has been really good. Their last two drafts, they've added premier players at premier positions, quarterback, tackle, pass rusher, corner this past year. Of course, in the second round, they get a guy like Breece Hall. I mean, just it's a really talented, fun group, and now they needed a check a box with a big-time win, and I think winning in Lambeau Field qualifies as
yes,
that.
And it now, does. Yes, it does. You know, and, yeah, man.
And I'll tell you, that's kind of the progression of a rebuild.
It is. Well, I mean,
next box.
Yeah, the box, man, that I'm checking, all right, is that clearly you mentioned Breece Hall and we want to talk about brash and confident. That's Sauce Gardner for sure. That kid, Quinnen Williams, up front is a game wrecker of the first variety. And when I say first variety, I'm talking about the tops in the game at that position. And there's a lot of top names out there that you can mention. And he's heading in that direction, man. You saw it in person. He was a game. He blocked a field goal. He was in Rodgers' lap all day. He is a tone setter. He's allowing the guys behind him to fill the gaps. He's allowing the guys in the back end to do their jobs. He's friggin' amazing, that guy.
There was multiple times during the broadcast that the only way we could classify what was happening is Quinnen Williams is unblockable. Run, pass, you mentioned he blocked the field goal. I mean, he was arguably the biggest factor in the entire game on either side of the ball. And I think, and when we talked to Robert Saleh last week going into the game, you know, we brought him up and he said, you know, he's kind of flying under the radar right now, not due to lack of ability or his impact on the game. He's just, unfortunately, he's been playing on a bad team that hasn't played a lot of marquee games. Well, and he goes, if we continue to win and he gets a national stage, look out. And sure, right on time, he played a national game and was arguably the best player on the field. So he's a, you know, we all remember him coming out of school. We all remember the impact. And he's, I mean, some of the guys you mentioned, a few of them, some of those guys they have on defense, Jermaine Johnson, the first-round pick out of Florida State, he didn't even play. Another one of their first-round picks from this year. You mentioned Sauce Gardner. Carl Lawson, the other end on the other side, is having a big-time year coming back off injury. So, I mean, they're talented. And I'll tell you what, I think they're going to be a force here for a long time.
So in the few minutes I have left with you here, let's turn the page to where you're going next. Marquee game of week 7, without a doubt. There's no question about it. I assume you're doing Chiefs and Niners, right? You're going to
yep.
Santa Clara next.
Yep.
So you got two teams coming off of losses. One, you know, with the Chiefs playing the de facto best team in the league, somebody who you might be calling the Super Bowl with them involved in it, and the Bills. Then you got the Niners losing to Atlanta, where Atlanta is a young upcomer, obviously, but still the Niners should win a game like that. What do you make of this contest and the Niners' inability to start being more consistent like we saw at the end of last year, Greg?
Yeah, I think that's the key word. You said it. I think right now for the 49ers, the consistency factor, I think any given week they could look like one of the best teams in the league, especially defensively. And then on any given week, they have a setback like they did last week, you know, losing by 2 scores to Atlanta. And I went back and watched that game this morning just preparing for it. And it was really a combination of a lot of things. They had, you know, 3 turnovers, 1 fumble that was returned for a touchdown to put them down 14-0 early. They ended up coming back to tie it. They just could never quite get over the hump. And, you know, and again, there's no excuses. And you know, injuries happen to everyone. They're, you know, when you go down there, week one starting lineup on both sides of the ball, their original starting 22 versus the starting 22 they played with this past week. For whatever reason, it seems like every year just injuries play a huge factor, especially defensively with this 49er group. And I don't know exactly why, if it's just bad luck or whatever, but you know, they need to get some of these guys back. They need to get Bosa back on defense. They need to get Trent Williams back on offense on the left tackle. So there are some guys that hopefully are back for them this week that just obviously make them just a different group. But, of course, last week, you know, going to lose to Atlanta, especially coming off the good win the week before against the Panthers, you know, I think was uncharacteristic. I think they were playing better than that result. But, as you said, Atlanta's getting better. And then on the other side, I think that game, Bills-Chiefs, is a flip of the coin every single time. They're going to play for the next decade. And barring some crazy, you know, something happened on either side, I think we're going to continue to see the games be what we, you know, what we saw last year in the playoffs, which is arguably one of the best games we've ever seen. And then, you know, the way that game ended the other day is pretty much in that same same category. So I'm looking forward to this one. I wish they both didn't lose the week before we had them.
Yeah.
But I don't think it takes away anything.
No.
I think San Francisco gets some guys back healthy, which will help. And I think it's two of the teams that are, you know, in the running. I think especially with the San Francisco being in the NFC. I think it's anybody's conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, I know that you say that with the Eagles, the lone remaining undefeated team, they're on a bye week this week. The division for the Niners is still there. I mean, they got 3-3-3 teams. They're one of them. Decent chance is what Kyle Shanahan said about getting both Nick Bosa and Trent Williams back for this game. And then Kansas City's got to sit back and watch the Monday Nighter and from last night, the Week 6 finale, and say, we got either one of these teams if we face them. And in that regard, the last football question for you I have is, you know, I started the show by saying whatever Nathaniel Hackett sold to the management team there about what he's going to do with Russ and whatever he's doing with Russ, he should take it and throw it out. Or just see what he did well in the first quarter and keep a little bit of that, but everything else gone. What are you seeing with Denver?
Yeah, it's just whatever they're doing is just not working, right? And I think week one, you know, that game against Seattle, I think there was some reason, you know, I think there was people were a little more accepting of, you know, the struggles, the inconsistencies. Expected Denver to win.
Right.
But just that was a little, you know, misleading. I think people just saw that as like early season struggles, new team, new quarterback. But it's been every single week, and I think that's the concerning part. Is their defense has played really well. I mean, the games they're losing, the defense is holding people into the teens, and they're losing. And you know, they're losing. And what also hurts is they're losing primetime games. Right, we're seeing them play night games, premier games. You know, in the NFL, you know, schedule makers were putting the schedule together. They, you know, they saw Russell Wilson and this, you know, young, talented Broncos team and thought they were going to be a contender. And obviously they've fallen way short of expectations. So, you know, they've got some figuring out to do. I think Hackett, you know, you talk to Aaron Rodgers, he speaks the world of him. You know, he thinks he's a fantastic coach and really, you know, thinks highly of him. And obviously we've all seen what Russell's been able to do, you know, in his time in Seattle. But for whatever reason, what's going on there right now is falling severely short of, I'm sure, all of their expectations. Forget our expectations. I'm sure internally that's nowhere near what they expected when they brought Russell there and made that trade. So they got some figuring out to do, and they got to do it fast.
I'm told, Greg Olson, that you have some news regarding Tight End University to discuss. What do you
know? I appreciate letting us share it. So we are pumped. We're actually This Sunday is going to be National Tight Ends Day, started by my fellow TEU partner, George Kittle. So It's very fitting that on National Tight Ends Day, I would like to think the NFL schedule makers did this on purpose, but maybe it's a coincidence. So Kelsey and Kittle, my two partners in TEU, playing against each other. I'll be calling the game. So what better week to announce TEU than this week on National Tight Ends Day? So we are back. Charmin is back as our big partner, our big presenting sponsor. We're going to be down in Nashville. We hold it down at Vanderbilt's campus. Last year we had like 85 NFL tight ends for 3 days down in Nashville for like a 3-day kind of tight end summit of classwork and on-field work and some fun. It's really grown into a pretty significant event on the summer calendar. So we're excited to bring it back. What better time than now as I get ready to go call a game between two of the best guys.
I love it.
Of our generation playing the position, so we're pretty pumped about it.
Olsen in the booth, Kittle and Kelsey on the field. Let's go.
I mean, how good is that?
I bet they did that on purpose. Kelsey and Kittle on National Tight Ends Day, and just assumed you'd be calling it. I think that was planned, and I love that Charmin's your sponsor. What a great sponsor.
How fitting is that?
Amazing. Well,
they take care of your tight ends, you know.
They do. Hey, and so it's going to be in Nashville next year again, right? The whole drill?
Yep.
Same drill? Run it back?
Yep. This will be our third year. Okay. Yep, we'll run it back. It's in Nashville.
All right.
Vanderbilt they're a great host, and it's an absolute blast.
Love it. Thanks for sharing that information here. As you know, I'm a big fan of all three of you guys, and certainly the idea that tight ends matter. I mean that for the position. Stop laughing over there, TJ. What's the matter with you? So congratulations on that and everything going on with you.
I appreciate it.
So well deserved.
I appreciate it. It's always great to see you, man. It's always good to talk to you. I'm sure I'll be on soon.
Oh, let's do it again. Thanks again. That's Greg Olson at Greg Olson 88 from Fox Sports, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How dare you? What are you, a child?
A little bit.
What's the matter with him? What is the matter with him?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot, to be honest. Like,
speaking of which, Major League Baseball did something for the kids last night.
I love the kids.
They should. All right, we'll discuss it. Game 5's later today now. Okay. We'll discuss that whole business when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show before hour number two, with Ronnie 2K stepping in here. And Jerry has chimed in on Dak. Stop laughing. You're a child. What's the matter with you? Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First.
Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Looking for buy a new home? Navy Federal Credit Union has loan options and resources that help their members save and make sure they get the best deal. Because right now, Navy Federal will contribute up to $1,000 as a lender credit towards closing costs on your new home. Plus, members save on their monthly payments since there's no requirement for private mortgage insurance. And that's not all. Navy Federal offers low rates and fees, too, so you could save even more. And Navy Federal's experts can help you choose the best option for you so the home loan process is as smooth and experienced as possible. This is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Qualifying members with purchase mortgage applications after 9/16/22 may receive up to $1,000 towards actual closing costs. Apply to closing with no cash back and subject to loan program maximum contribution limits. Terms subject to change. Ask your loan officer for details. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Evan in New York, you're on the show. What's up, Evan?
Rich, how are you doing?
Hang in there. What's on your mind, sir?
Well Rich, before I get into what I want to talk about, I just want to say I mentioned earlier in the year to you when I called in that your show makes the viewers feel like they're friends of the show, and I want to let you know that that still holds true to this day.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate that.
Of course.
Excellent.
Rich,
thanks for saying.
I was watching you on this Sunday on the NFL Network, and let me tell you something. As someone who feels like a friend, I would like to say that it made me feel very happy to see everybody else on the panel pick Green Bay, but you, sir, were the lone wolf.
Yes, sir.
The lone wolf to pick the New York Jets.
Yep.
So how did that feel?
Amazing. Amazing. Just amazing. Amazing. And then to have the Jets back up my play by saying they're going to put their cards on the table and tell everybody that the crap of the last 50 years is over. Over. And they did exactly that, and it was amazing. And I believe everything that I'm seeing. I honestly don't feel, Evan, like this is Fugazi. I don't feel like this is also a flash in the pan like Rex Ryan.
Wow.
And Sanchez, those ground and pound years, and then once they got capped out, they had to rely on Rex's ability to coach players who might not fit systems and things like that as well, and it all fell to crap, as we all know. Geno Smith got drafted. Rex wasn't even paying attention to what was going on in the field because he was so focused on the defense when the offense was out there, and things fell apart. This doesn't feel that way. They're young. And they come from programs where they're not used to losing, and they're beginning. The light is on. The light is on. So
yeah, that's great to see. And you know, it's great to see New York being, you know, the home of football too. You know, with the Bills,
well, yes,
the Jets are on fire, and the Giants as well. So that's great to see. One more quick thing, two things. Tonight's the start of the NBA season. Just want to give a quick shout out. My dad worked with his dad at Indian Point. He's also a New Yorker. So, Rich, keep an eye on him for the Los Angeles Lakers. Matt Ryan made the 15-man roster. He's from Briarcliff Manor.
Okay.
So, keep an eye out for him. And of course, Rich, we've had our disagreements about this team, and I'll go off the air to let you talk about it real quick. But if at any chance What do you see the New York Knicks doing this year?
I have no idea. I'll be very honest with you. I know they got Brunson, right? I mean, so very.
Yeah.
Look, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I don't mean to shine it off, but Jets Giants right now. The Knicks home opener is what against the Pistons. So they'll beat the Pistons, and everyone's going to run on the streets like they won the championship, like the Larry O'Brien Trophy, just like last year when they were all acting like they were 6-year-old morons.
Tough opener. They have the Grizz tomorrow.
But whatever. But they're at the Grizz. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm home opener.
Whatever. I don't want to go down a Dolan wormhole right now.
I don't either.
Yanks are taking on the Guardians at 4 Eastern today. And I don't know what Major League Baseball was thinking. All you had to do is look at the Doppler radar. And I know that around, halftime of the Monday Night Football game last night is
not...
when they finally called it.
They let it go for a while.
Like 9 something at night is when they finally called it. And it's just like, what were you thinking? Like I heard they were like, there could be a window open at like 8:45. And they were like going to give updates throughout the night. And they gave no updates. I kept on refreshing on Twitter.
No updates.
Zero updates. I felt bad for the people who show up at the stadium sitting there trying to stay dry. And they're like, what? There could be a window at what? 8:45 at night? 9 at night? And the whole conversation, too, has been with this baseball playoff season because the Padres and the Phillies, who are starting game one down the road from us here for the NLCS, is, the wild card teams have advanced to the LCS and the Guardians might bounce the Yankees and the Astros have gotten through, that maybe the bye week is a bad idea for the teams that have the best records, that they were too rusty and what have you, and that... that's been an issue with the playoff format. Buster Olney, who I adore, even came up with some wild idea that if you have the best records, the two best records in the league, like the Astros and Yankees and the Braves and the Dodgers had, you would have the chance of maybe playing in the first round to keep fresh. And you have your choice of a bye week or not. It's just like, how about you play better than you played? How about if you're the Dodgers, you play better? This whole business of you've won 111 games and now you get bounced by a team that was 20 games behind you, that's not fair. How about you play better? But even with this whole conversation of being like the regular season should matter more because the two teams that have the best records are getting bounced out of the NL. So you're going to hold the game 5 that the Yankees earned with that almost 100 win season in front of 8,000 people who still stuck around? Like that's the home field advantage you were willing to play a game with? And how about the kids sitting in Ohio and New York that would have to go to sleep? Some kid waking up in Cuyahoga County and saying, Dad, Mom, did the Guardians win at 2 in the morning while I was asleep? Like, what are you thinking? I understand they were trying to make sure that the winner of this game 5 wasn't handicapped for game 1 of the ALCS, but so be it. At least it's going to be on a bright, sunshiny day in New York. The Yankees earned the right to have 47,000 screaming nut jobs there today, like Nick Turturro sitting on his couch. And so they're going to have it. And the kids will see it. Actual New York and Ohio kids will be able to see a game to its conclusion without being asleep or 11 at night or even 2 in the morning. What were they even thinking for as long as they were thinking it last night? So I'm glad they made that move.
Well, the other conversation, too, that I saw was, the Dodgers and the Mets losing means we need to change the 5 games. We got to go to 7 now.
No. I kind of like this series.
I kind of do, too.
And I think the idea is that you get the two best records, you get to set your pitching up.
Yeah.
You get to set your pitching up, and that's that. And the other teams, what, because they have their juices still flowing, have a better chance to win? I don't know, man. I'm not sitting here thinking the Yankees were rusty. They won game 1 of their series against the Guardians, who just put the ball in play and let things happen. And if they bloop, they bloop, they bloop, and then they'll get one other base hit. They had 5 singles in that comeback win on Saturday night that earned them the right to still be playing today. So I am not of that mindset that this new playoff format just 1 year in shows that the teams that had the best records are actually handicapped because they're rusty while the other teams still go. I don't believe that. Just play better. The Dodgers were rusty? Really? Is that what it was?
Didn't they win game 1 too?
The Braves were rusty? Maybe it was just the time for the Phillies. They've been red hot ever since they told the binder to go to the MLB Network.
Well, Cleveland, too. Aren't they like 26 hey, and man, 6 or something?
They got a hell of a manager. Who I love. When he said that Aaron Judge was going to maybe pick his home run ball up on the way home.
He's a good manager, Rich.
He's
a manager.
He's awesome. I know what you're saying. He gets to do his own thing.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have 3 rescue dogs and only 2 hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend 2 max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.